chapter 8. We read in this account Sunday morning, and we read Mark's account Sunday evening. So, to look at verses 40 through the end of the chapter. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, that is to Capernaum, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. Falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, that is, while Jesus was speaking to her, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered or permitted no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. He put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished or stunned, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Again, this is Luke's account of Jesus returning to Capernaum, healing a woman who was diseased and plagued for 12 years, an unnatural flow of blood. And also it records the raising of the 12-year-old daughter of this man by the name of Jairus. So what you have here is a story within a story. Reading this, we see the sequence of events which affect other events. Matthew in Matthew chapter 9 and Mark in Mark chapter 5 also give account of these two events. John is the only one who does not do so. But we've read Luke's account tonight because we want to focus upon Jairus, and Luke gives the most detail concerning the raising of this 12-year-old daughter of Jairus. And in this message, we want to focus upon the faith of this man, Jairus. I want to speak tonight on the growing and developing of the faith of Jairus. Before we look at his faith, we need to consider some basic truths about faith with regards to God. Faith, of course, with regards to God is to be persuaded concerning the Lord. So when we talk about faith, We're talking about persuasion of God. It is confidence in God. It is dependence and reliance upon God. And we see Jairus had all of this. He was persuaded concerning Christ. He was very confident concerning what Christ would do. He was depending and relying fully upon Christ. Faith, of course, is unreserved trust in the Lord. And we see this with Jairus as well. Faith, of course, is leaning upon God. It's resting upon God. It's cleaving to God. It will always cause one to look to God. And that's what Jairus was doing. It will always cause one to come to the Lord. And again, that's what Jairus did. It's basically just casting ourselves upon the Lord. And once again, that is what Jairus did in this case. It's living in the reality of God, that is, living the reality of who God is, considering all the attributes of God. We read in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And that's what faith does. Faith embraces God. Faith embraces what God says. Faith is acting upon what is believed. It's acting upon what we believe concerning the Lord. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That is, if you consider that with what was going on with Job, consider he is saying, even though all this is happening to me, I will trust him. Regardless of my setback, no matter what I suffer, and even if God casts me away, I will trust him. Even if he slay me, even if he casts me away, yet I will trust him. Who else do you have? There is no one else. So even if he casts us away, he's not going to. But Job says, even if he would, I would still trust him. He would still be the one that I depend upon. He would still be the one that I rely upon. He'd still be the one that I have confidence in, that I'm going to lean upon, that I'm going to rest upon, that I'm going to look to. So that gives us a basic idea of faith. Now the significance of faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. So faith is significant. Faith is of extreme importance. And in reading through Hebrews chapter 11, we read repeatedly, by faith and through faith. By and through. Prepositions indicating the means of achieving something. And as you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you see men and women achieved great things, miraculous things. And the means of doing so was faith. So we see from that that there is an enabling power in faith. Faith enables us. Faith gives us an enabling power. And all through the Word of God, we see those who went the furthest spiritually, those who ascended the highest, were men and women of faith. They were men and women who possessed faith. They were men and women who were possessed by faith. So we see the secret of living a fruitful and productive life, spiritually speaking, for the Lord is faith. And there is a direct correlation between faith and living for the Lord. The truth is, you can't live for the Lord unless it's by faith. We see there's a direct correlation between faith and our degree of dedication to the Lord, our degree of nonconformity to the world. A direct correlation between faith and the quality of our spiritual life, our obedience, our prayer life, our love for the Lord, our enjoyment of the Lord. corresponds with faith. Our peace, our assurance, our perseverance, again, all correspond to faith. There is a connection between faith and spiritual stability. We notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and verse 20. About halfway through that verse, we read, "Believe in the Lord your God." That's faith, believe. "So shall ye be established." That's stability. "Believe his prophets." There's faith again. "So shall ye prosper." That is spiritually. So faith and spiritual stability and prosperity go together. Faith enables one to stand. Notice in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 20. "Because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith." Thou standest by faith. So faith enables us to stand. We see the same thing in 2 Corinthians 1:24. Also, faith produces joy and peace. Romans chapter 15, if we turn there, Romans 15 and verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." In believing. "That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Faith is connected to prayer. We read in James 1 in verse 6, "Let him ask." That's prayer. In faith. What kind of faith? Nothing wavering. So we see there's a connection between prayer and faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see verse 16 that faith serves as a shield in the spiritual warfare. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." There is also a direct correlation between faith, again, and our quality of life. Jesus said to the centurion in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13, "As thou believest, so be it done unto thee." So, without faith, the Christian life is nonentity. It doesn't exist without faith. And there are many today who claim to live a Christian life, but the truth is, their so-called Christian life is nonentity. It's not real. Because there's not faith. There has to be faith. Faith is what gives reality to our life. So our strength, our resolve, our fortitude, our dedication, our assurance, our peace, our joy, these all depend on faith. And they are greatly diminished by not possessing faith. It's a lack of faith that results in God's people embracing the wrong things. It's a lack of faith that causes God's people to have wrong priorities. It's a lack of faith that would cause God's people to drink out of broken cisterns. It's a lack of faith that causes people to do these things. So we see the significance of faith. So what is the nature of this faith? It is living, it is active, and it is growing. And that is seen in its comparison to a grain of mustard seed. And almost everyone makes that comparison with regard to size, but that can't be, and we've preached on that many times. The comparison is not with regard to size, because the Lord always rebuked little faith. He doesn't rebuke it in one faith place and then commend it somewhere else. It's not a comparison in size. It's a comparison with nature. It's the nature that is being compared. And the grain of a mustard seed, what is the nature of that grain? It's alive. It's alive. James talked about dead faith. This is a living faith. This is a active faith. This is a growing faith. So we're not just talking about a historical belief. We're talking about a faith that is living within us, a faith that is acting in us, a faith that is growing. It is this faith that enables us to climb the steepest hills. It is this faith that enables us to press on through the most fierce winds. It is this faith that puts us in Hebrews chapter 11 to do the extraordinary. It is this kind of faith that led the children of Israel across the Red Sea and caused them to march around the city of Jericho and the walls of Jericho. It is this faith that caused the Hebrew children to be in the fiery furnace praising God. It's this faith that will keep you near to God, and it's this faith that will keep your heart responsive to God, and it's this faith that will cause you to worship God no matter what. That's the kind of faith that we're talking about. Faith is where a relationship with God is found. And that's what it's all about. A relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, you have nothing. Your so-called Christian life is nonentity. It doesn't matter. It does you no good. Faith is where this relationship with the Lord is found. Now, the Word of God, of course, is filled with examples of men and women who possessed this kind of faith. And Jairus, in our text, is one of many such examples. So we want to look at the faith of Jairus, and then we want to consider how his faith was developed or grown. And our faith ought to be developing. Our faith ought to be constantly growing. And it is, if it is the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, it will. If it's living faith, it will grow. Jairus, first of all, was a man who had a great need. It was a need that burdened him greatly. He had one daughter. She was 12 years old. She's terribly sick. She's so sick that she's dying. She's dying. Now, if you have a child and that child is dying, you are living a personal nightmare. And that's what Jairus was doing. He was experiencing what appears to be something insurmountable, a great difficulty, a great trial in his life. No doubt, he is grievously pained within. There's a pain that you cannot even describe. A pain worse than any physical pain. His daughter is dying. So he's grievously pained within. He's engulfed with a weight of sorrow. Faith doesn't remove the pain, doesn't remove the sorrow, doesn't make you immune to those things. In other words, faith doesn't empty you of emotion. But in the midst of all of this, he had a faith that did make a difference. In spite of what he was going through, his faith would make a difference. Not only in his life, but in his wife's life. Maybe she had the same faith, I don't know. And in his daughter's life. But he had a faith that made a difference. He had a faith that was living. It was active. It was a force in his life. Faith is not something that we create. It's not something that you can work up. But it ought to be a force in our life. It's something that works within us. Now his faith, he had a faith with regards to the person of Jesus Christ. And by that I simply mean that he believed and was persuaded that Jesus Christ was greater than the sickness that threatened his only daughter's life. So they had a faith with regards to the person of Jesus Christ. He also had a faith with regards to the ability of Jesus Christ. He believed and was persuaded that Christ could heal, that Christ could spare his daughter's life. So he believed that Christ was greater than the sickness. He believed that, and you'll see, he also believed that Christ was greater than even the death that would take her life. And he also believed that Christ had the ability to heal. So faith is living, faith is active, it's a force in our life. So let's notice briefly what faith did in his life. And I believe faith will always do these things. First of all, it was a faith that drove him to Christ. It moved him to Christ. It put him in the presence of Jesus Christ. In other words, this faith caused a compulsion and a stirring within him to seek Christ. Perhaps he stood or sat by the bedside of his daughter, held her hand. Within him, this faith. And there was a compulsion and a stirring to seek Christ. He did not send his wife. He did not send one of his servants, but he deliberately sought Christ. That was what his faith did. He was compelled to leave where he was. Now again, put yourself in the place of Jairus. You have a sick child. That child is dying. You have spent hours at the bedside of that child, trying to soothe and comfort that child, trying to soothe and comfort your spouse. But there's this faith that tells you to leave that house. Leave your daughter's bedside. Leave your wife's side and go seek Christ. So it was a faith that caused him to seek Christ, leaving where he was. Faith will compel you to leave where you are many times, even when it doesn't make sense. Recognizing his daughter's need, recognizing the threat that was hanging over his home, seeking Christ became a priority to him. It became the business of the day. I've got to leave. I've got to leave this bedside and I've got to seek Christ. Now Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue, and considering what was going on at the time, was willing to sacrifice everything to seek Christ. That's what faith will do. Faith is willing to sacrifice everything, and you can't help it. It's a force within you. Jairus couldn't stay by that bedside. He couldn't. Because faith was working in him. And he seeks Christ, willing to sacrifice everything. We see that the faith of Jairus would drive him to the feet of Jesus Christ as a dependent pleader. Notice in Luke 8, in verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of a synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Why did he do that? Was it planned? I don't think so. Faith drove him to the feet of Jesus Christ. Here is a ruler of the synagogue, a man of position, a man of rank. He doesn't care what anybody in that multitude thinks. Faith drives him to this place at Jesus' feet. And it says he besought him. He pleaded with Christ. Why did he do that? Because he believed that Christ was greater than the disease. Because he believed that Christ was able. So he pleaded that he would come into his house. And then verse 42, of course, explains the situation. So it was a faith that drove him to Christ. Faith will always do that. Faith will never lead you away from Christ. It'll always lead you to Christ. He also had a faith that helped him deal with his circumstances. Faith will not necessarily change your circumstances. In fact, your circumstances may grow worse. But faith will help you deal with your circumstances. And the circumstances of Jairus were hard. They were very demanding. They were very grievous. His circumstances were of a tormenting and piercing nature. His daughter is sick. His daughter is dying. This is exhausting to Jairus and his wife. But he had a faith that sustained him. He had a faith that helped him deal with his circumstances. I mean, if faith doesn't help you deal with adverse circumstances, what good is it? It's a dead faith. If the only time your faith does you any good is when everything is going just like you want it to, that's not faith. Faith helps us deal with whatever it is we have to deal with. It was a faith that caused him to be different from the multitude that had gathered around Christ that day. Again in verse 40 we see that much people gathered unto him. And it was from this gathering that our attention is directed toward Jairus, and behold, he's saying, don't worry about the rest of that multitude. Don't get focused on that multitude. Behold this man, Jairus. The Lord calls our attention to this man. And behold, and the reason the Lord calls our attention to this man is because he's different. He's different from the others in the multitude. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And at the feet of Christ, he pleads with faith on behalf of his daughter. He was different than those who had gathered. This kind of faith will make you different than the world. It will even make you different from the religious, from those who are weighted down with a religion that does not work. And there are many today weighted down with a religion that does not work. Faith makes you different from them. This faith will make you different from a religion that is detached from God. You ever notice how many people have a religion, but they are detached from God? There are Baptists that way too, by the way, who believe the Baptist faith, who believe the Baptist doctrines, but their religion, their life is detached from God. That's useless. This faith makes you different. Faith does not leave you detached from God. Faith attaches you to God. This faith will make you different from those who have a meaningless, ineffective, and inconsequential religion. Because I believe that most of those who gathered around Christ that day were religious people. But this man Jairus was different than most in that crowd. So he pleads with Christ. And then pretty soon we see Jairus and Christ and this multitude heading to the house of Jairus. So faith, it was a faith that caused him to walk with Christ. You ever wonder what Jairus was thinking as they were walking? I'll tell you this, this walk turned out to be very beneficial to Jairus. Faith will always cause you to walk with Christ. And that walk with Christ will develop your faith. And that walk with Christ will be beneficial to you. It'll be beneficial to your loved ones also. It was a faith that caused him to persevere. Again, Jairus believed and was persuaded that Christ was greater than the sickness that was taking his daughter's life. So he was persistent. On their way to the house, word came in verse 49, "Thy daughter is dead. Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." That was very disheartening news. But he continued to believe that Christ was greater than the sickness, that Christ was greater than the death that took his daughter. We also see it as a faith that enabled him to experience the miraculous. We see eventually they arrive at the house, verse 51, and he and his wife witnessed their daughter being raised to life. So from all this, we see that the faith of Jairus was different, and he was greatly blessed through his faith. But what we want to emphasize tonight is the development of the faith of Jairus. It ought to be our longing that God grow our faith. At the onset of our text, verse 41, we are told that he was a ruler of the synagogue. All three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give this detail. And I believe it's a detail that more often than not is greatly overlooked. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, none of them leave out this detail. And I believe most look at it as simply a passing piece of information regarding Jairus. And it is a piece of information regarding Jairus, but it's more than that. It's much, much more than that. I believe this is a significant piece of information regarding the faith of Jairus. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. That would have been the synagogue of Capernaum. Now back in Mark, we spent time here Sunday night, but back in Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 27, in verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were all astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Where do you think Jairus was that day? He was a ruler of the synagogue. I believe he was there. And he heard what Jesus taught. But something else transpired that day at the synagogue. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And to save time, we'll not read the account, but Jesus cast the demon out of this man. Where was Jairus? He was a ruler of the synagogue. I believe he was there. He was there. Without a doubt, Christ was in that synagogue that day for that demon-possessed man. And what he did for that demon-possessed man. There's no question about that. But know this also. Christ was also there for Jairus that day. And what he also did for Jairus. You see, he's developing the faith of Jairus. Now, I don't know if Jairus' daughter is sick at this time or not. We don't know. But it really doesn't matter. What matters here is that the Lord was developing the faith of Jairus. And I don't think Jairus forgot what transpired at the synagogue that day. Well, then you can go over to Mark chapter 3, and in the first five verses, we see in verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue. Again. So he's back. Where was Jairus? He's a ruler of the synagogue. Where do you think he was? I believe he was in that synagogue. And this day, there was a man sitting there, and his hand was all shriveled up. And Jesus healed his hand. This man had probably been there many times, and Jairus had probably seen this man many times. But that day, Jairus saw Jesus heal this man. Now, again, without question, Jesus was in that synagogue for the man with the deformed hand. And what he did that day, he did for the man with the deformed hand. But again, know this. Jesus Christ was also there that day for Jairus. And what he did for the man with the deformed hand, he was also doing a work in Jairus. He was developing the faith of Jairus. So I believe this is a very significant piece of information. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. And then we are told specifically twice before we're told that Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, two visits of Christ to that synagogue. This is significant. This is not just a passing piece of information. It tells us something about the development of the faith of Jairus. So, Jairus seeks Christ. And in doing so, he's at the bedside of his daughter. She's dying. And I believe Jairus' mind at some point is going back to that day in the synagogue where he saw Jesus cast a demon out of that demon-possessed man. And his mind goes back to another time in the synagogue when he saw Jesus heal that man with a deformed hand. And he's believing Jesus, he can heal. He can heal. And there was a compulsion, a stirring within him that caused him to leave his daughter's bedside and go and seek Christ. And he falls down before Christ and he pleads on behalf of his daughter. And the whole multitude and Jesus and Jairus are heading toward the house of Jairus where his daughter lay dying. And I'm sure that Jairus was in a hurry. And I'm sure he's thinking in his mind, there's no time to spare. But the procession is moving slowly. And the reason it's moving slowly is because of the massive crowd and because they were hovering around Jesus. Was this not a trial of Jairus' faith? It certainly was. On their way to the house, there was a major interruption. When this woman with a serious and pressing problem had made her way to Jesus, and then everything comes to a standstill. And Jesus turned his attention to this woman. Now, the natural inclination of Jairus would have been, this could not have happened at a worse time. My daughter is dying. We're already moving slow, and now we've stopped, and Jesus has turned his attention to this woman. Of all times, for this to happen. And haven't we all had situations like that? Of all times, it's got to happen today. That is a trial of faith. And it is a part of developing faith. Christ would miraculously heal this woman. And then we read in verse 47, she declared unto him before all the people. So she begins to testify. And I imagine Jairus is thinking, woman, be quiet. We don't need to hear this right now. My daughter is dying. But notice what it says. She declared unto him before all the people. That means Jairus heard what she said. And what was she declaring? For what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She had her problem for 12 years. How old was Jairus' daughter? 12 years old. So Jairus would begin to think, My, she had this problem about the time my daughter was born. 12 years! And yet Jesus healed her. And I believe Jairus, as he looked at this woman, he could see the joy in her face. He could see the jubilation that she had. And then he heard Jesus say to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, Jesus said that certainly to encourage her, to assure her, but I believe he also said it for Jairus. The faith of Jairus was being developed, was being bolstered, it was being strengthened. And by this time, I believe that Jairus was now more sure than he was when he first came to Jesus, that Jesus is able to heal my daughter. His faith is being developed. Why is his faith being developed? For what was coming next. The Lord doesn't just strengthen your faith for no reason. He was developing the faith of Jairus for what was coming next. What was coming next? Verse 49, some people came from Jairus' house and they said, "Thy daughter is dead. Thy daughter is dead." Oh, the sorrow, the anguish that must have filled his heart, the concern that must have filled his heart for his wife. His inclination would be to think, I don't know if he thought this, I'm just talking about the inclination. I was not there. I was not there to hold his hand, to hold her hand. This too was a trial of the faith of Jairus. Thy daughter is dead. Then came the words, "Why troublest the master?" Mark put it this way, "Why troublest the master any further?" In other words, Jairus, it's all over. There's no reason to pursue this matter any further. This also was a test of the faith of Jairus. So you have these voices. She's dead. There's no need to trouble the master any further. Jairus, just come on home and forget about it. Jesus said to Jairus in verse 50, "Be not afraid, only believe." In other words, Jairus, keep unbelieving. Keep unbelieving. Jairus, keep untrusting. Jairus, keep unleaning on me. Keep unrelying on me. Believe. What was the Lord doing? He was developing the faith of Jairus. In spite of the discouraging news, Jairus, keep unbelieving. And you and I will exercise faith, and I guarantee you somewhere along the line something discouraging is going to happen, and you need to hear Jesus say, "Believe, believe, believe, just keep on believing, don't let them discourage you. Just believe." Faith was being developed. So they continue their walk home. And I wonder what Jairus thought the rest of the way home. I wonder what was upon his mind, knowing now that his daughter has passed. Then they arrive at the house. And again, his faith is being tried. His faith is being developed. In verse 51, Peter, James, John, Jesus, Jairus, and his wife enter the house, and there lies his daughter. Another trial of faith. And in verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her. Another trial of faith. But this was again part of the developing phases of faith. And then we know the story. They witness the miraculous. But all through the account, we see both the trying of Jairus' faith. The Bible teaches that faith will be tried. Faith will be tried. Now that's for our information. So we know if we have faith or not. Because if faith does not endure the trial, there's something wrong with your faith. So faith will be tried. But in the trying, faith is developed. It's grown. It's made stronger. And that ought to be simply our life. We ought to have a faith within us that's living, that's active, that's growing. And that faith from day to day is going to be tried in a variety of ways. Your faith may be tried in a different way than my faith. But faith, wherever it is going to be tried. But it needs to be developed. And no one can develop faith like the Lord. And that's why the apostles prayed in Luke chapter 17, I believe verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. That ought to be our prayer all the time, Lord. Develop my faith. Grow my faith. Make it stronger. And it prepares us for what's coming. You're not prepared for what's coming unless you're close to God. Faith prepares us for what's coming next. What's coming down the road. We don't know what's coming next. It may be those words, thy daughter is dead, thy son is dead. We don't know. But faith is a wonderful thing. Faith is a wonderful gift of God. So the next time you read those words, Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, know why that is there. Not just a passing piece of information. It tells us about the faith of Jairus, how Jairus came to this point. And it's still true today. Though the Lord was there for that demon-possessed man, He did that for Jairus also. And the Lord may do a miracle in someone else's life, and He might be doing it for you. Developing your faith. What a benefit to have a growing, living faith. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.